You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Professor Robert Pugsley, who teaches at the Southwestern University School of Law in Los Angeles. We want to get his thoughts as the U.S. attorney in Chicago, as well as the FBI, collaborate to arrest Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, as well as his chief of staff, on allegations that they were trying to basically sell the vacant Senate seat in that state to the highest bidder, and who would give the best deal to the Illinois governor and potentially his wife as well. And Bob, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
What's your reaction to this legally, just at first blush?
Well, it comes as a surprise to me because I was not aware of this ongoing five-year investigation called Operation Board Games, which the FBI was conducting. Blagojevich was elected in 2002. He's in his second term as governor of Illinois. And apparently this investigation has gone back for at least 5 years, has already resulted in the conviction of some individuals, including Mr. Rezko, who was alleged to have been an associate of President-elect Obama, but the statement this morning by Patrick Fitzgerald, the special prosecutor, indicated that there was no connection whatsoever with President-elect Obama.
You and I have talked about Patrick Fitzgerald before, the prosecutor in this case, because he was the lead prosecutor brought in to investigate the leaking of Valerie Plame's name. In the end, no official charge on the leak, but there were perjury and false statement charges against Scooter Libby. So we've seen him in that case. We've seen him in this case. I'm sure you watched at least a little bit of what he had to say this morning. What do you make of his approach to this case and the timing of this prior to Blagojevich potentially naming a new U.S. senator?
Well, I think the timing is exquisite from the perspective of stopping the perpetration of this alleged fraud and bribery scandal. And again, as with Fitzgerald's style in previous cases, it's very compact, very succinct, very factually oriented. It's based on a 76-page affidavit, which the FBI compiled, including conversations that occurred late last month, early in November, and carrying over into early December between Blagojevich and some of his staff aides, including John Harris, who was indicted along with him.
We know that there are wiretapping transcripts of the conversations the governor has had. Many of them are laden with expletives, and it seems pretty clear that he wants something in return for naming whoever he's going to name to the U.S. Senate, even saying if he doesn't get what he wants, he'll name himself to the seat. But we've also heard today that that actually makes prosecution quite difficult when you have those wiretaps. Explain what the burden of the prosecution could be here.
Well, the burden of the prosecution, of course, is first to demonstrate that the wiretaps were court-approved, and allegedly they were, according to the news reports coming out this morning. And it seems to me, from my perspective, rather than being a burden, they're really quite incriminating because he talked about, in specific, a substantial salary for himself at either a nonprofit or an organization affiliated with labor unions. As you said, placing his wife on corporate boards where she could make as much as $150,000 a year. Promises of campaign funds, including cash up front and the cabinet post or ambassadorship for himself. In addition, of course, he was in a separate part of the FBI affidavit. He was charged with withholding funds from the Tribune Company, which owns Wrigley Field and the Chicago Cubs, for replacement of editorial writers who have been critical of him during his years as governor. So I don't know why these wiretaps would make it more difficult for the government to meet their burden of proof.
The extortion against the Tribune, does that fall along the same lines? Because there seems to be pretty strong evidence that is what he was up to. Or does that create a different standard that prosecutors need to meet as opposed to the corruption and bribery associated with the filling of the vacant sentence?
No, it's beyond a reasonable doubt on both aspects of the charges against him under this Operation Board Games investigation, Greg.
And in terms then of where this goes from here, if you're a defense attorney representing either him or his chief of staff, where do you go? Do you try to cop a plea as soon as possible? What's your strategy?
I would, of course, he'll appear before a federal magistrate later this afternoon in Chicago, and the charges will be read and he'll enter a plea, presumably not guilty. I don't know all of the facts that he might have to defend himself against these charges, but the case, again, and the way Fitzpatrick brings these things, seems pretty ironclad. and maybe plea negotiations would open, because the penalty for the conspiracy to commit wire fraud is a 20-year penalty, and solicitation of bribery, on which he was also charged, carries 10 years in prison, and each of those two counts carries a maximum fine of $250,000. So he and Mr. Harris are in deep trouble, and it seems to me that plea negotiations would be in order if they have anything to offer. It depends if Mr. Fitzpatrick, who at his press conference today was quite contemptuous of the level to which this governor's administration had fallen in pay-for-play bribery schemes, whether or not he's in a mood to be willing to engage in plea negotiations. That depends on how strong a case he has. It seems like he has a strong case.
That's a very ironic reversal of fortune for Beglojevich, who was looking for a plenty in return for naming a new senator. Now he's the one who has to come up with something potentially to strike a plea deal. Bob, it's been said several times today, it was reiterated many times by Mr. Fitzgerald in the press conference, that the governor is presumed innocent until proven guilty. But given the history of corruption in the state, which was also a major focal point, and the fact that the previous governor is still in prison right now, is it going to be hard for Beglojevich to be given the benefit of the doubt heading into any potential trial?
I think it will be, as a matter of jury selection, Greg, because, again, as you indicated, several of the past governors of Illinois have had their difficulties with the law, including Beglojevich's immediate predecessor, George Ryan, who is serving a 6.5-year prison term right now on corruption charges. So it seems to be a state that's plagued with that type of activity at the highest level. And indeed, when you think of the fact that the FBI began this wiretapping operation 5 years ago and accelerated it in the most recent, about the last month, it seems to me that they've got pretty substantial evidence and a climate or culture of political corruption that precedes Mr. Beglojevich, who came in as a reformer.
Well, it's the last thing a president-elect from Illinois wants to see as well. Bob, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Bob Pugsley teaches law at the Southwestern University School of Law in Los Angeles. This is Dateline Washington.